Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Professional actor for over 40 years, best known as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team, Barclay in Star Trek Next Generation and Voyager. Motion pictures, television motion pictures, theater. 40 years, over 40 years, always a conservative. A conservative long before I was a professional actor. It's one of those things I've often wondered whether it is dictated by DNA. You listen to The Savage Nation, and you probably know that answer as well as I do. You come to this microphone for truth, and you are some of the few in this country who have been able to avoid the propaganda of the major news networks, of the major news periodicals that are dying out. You have been a part of something new in this country that gets to the heart of the matter, that avoids the nonsense, and that is The Savage Nation and the man who sits behind the microphone, Dr. Michael Savage. And certainly, I mean, I've been listening since the, what should I say? Have we had enough about Osama bin Laden's death? Is it over? I mean, tell me the truth. What did you expect? You know, I halfway thought that eventually what we were actually going to hear was that Navy SEALs were used to deliver Eric Holder so that he could give Osama a subpoena. But it didn't happen. The President of the United States came forward, patted himself on the back, and said Osama bin Laden is dead. Said we weren't going to spike the football, and then he continued to spike the football. And he is still spiking it. And he's got probably $100 million ready so that you won't ever forget. You will never, ever forget that he did something that George Bush couldn't do. And I think in the halls of the White House, I think whenever the name Osama is mentioned, they play this little ditty, this little refrain, just to remind everybody that no matter what else happens in 2012, no matter how bad the economy is, no matter how much the price of gas is, no matter how little gas we have, this you will remember. Number 12, please.
You hold your knife.
Osama.
The way you changed my life.
I got him.
No, no, they can't take that away from me.
No, no,
they can't take that away.
Play it, please.
They won't take that away.
Come on.
Cause they can't bet. Take that away.
Oh, yeah.
From me.
Oh, yeah, baby. Let's hear it for me. George Bush didn't have anything to do with it, that nobody else did. It was me. I did it. How much we got in that line there now? We got Hapulian out there. Who else we got out there telling everybody? You're going to remember one. You want to remember this day, don't you? Yeah, so that's my idea of what happened. I mean, there could have been, you know, really, what should have happened? I mean, it's Monday morning quarterbacking. You have to say that, right? It is Monday morning quarterbacking. But we got him. He's dead. And according to Muslim clerics from around the world, he was not really a follower of Islam. We were told that he had hijacked the religion. And in accordance with that hijacking, he will receive a burial that is commensurate with his behavior, murdering men, women, and children, and delighting in it. And so he has been buried in an undisclosed location. Photographs of his dead body will appear on the internet in short order. Thank you very much, and God bless the United States of America. That would have probably been a great speech. But it didn't happen, and the football spiking has come up, and of course he's going to make a, or he made this, you know, his Sunday 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes, how many books did they push attacking George Bush? I think it was 4 or 5. But anyway, it's 60 Obama. 60-0. That's what they should call it. I'm going to appear on 60-0. 60-0. It's my news program. But there's so much going on in the world now. Let's move on. And by the way, I know I'm being a little harsh, but I give him credit. He did it. The Navy SEALs did it. We know too much about it now. We know far, far too much about it. But I give him credit. I give the President of the United States credit for that. But I give him no credit for being classless and not giving credit to the former president, who actually set all of the wheels in motion and gave him all of the tools to accomplish what he has accomplished. And we're going to talk about that today, because the progressives, who call themselves Democrats, have slipped quite frequently here. They've made an incredible mess of the story. It was a Rashomon. We've heard 5, 10, 12 different versions of the story. But there have been a few moments of eloquence, I think. A few moments of, from my standpoint, a little satisfaction of some of the things that I've seen on television. Here was one little, I was watching Geraldo Rivera. And Geraldo had a, he had two Navy SEALs. Two Navy SEALs. And Geraldo asked this one Navy SEAL, his name is Ben Smith, about the exploits. And Smith said something, and Geraldo had a little response at the very end. And it was poignant for me, because Geraldo is an Obama guy. And I want you to hear how he reacted. And we'll just listen to this. This was a moment. I got some satisfaction out of this moment. Number one, if you can, Charles, get that up. And
is this a good thing, the fact that we probably will never know who fired that fatal shot into the head of bin Laden?
I think it is. But, I mean, I think secrecy on a grander level as a society. I mean, since World War II, you know, loose lips sink ships. You know, a couple words here will kill thousands overseas, is what we really need to be considering now. Let these guys alone. We don't need to know where they train, what they do. They do the job, and they get it done. We need to leave it where it goes. Just chalk it up to American exceptionalism.
American exceptionalism. I like that.
Yeah, American exceptionalism. I like that. Geraldo said it, but Geraldo really, I'm sure he wishes he hadn't said that. Because his fellow in the White House, this was going to be number 13, his fellow in the White House, the President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, doesn't have the same idea of American exceptionalism as Ben Smith, the Navy SEAL, had. This is the President's idea of American exceptionalism. Number 13, please.
I believe in American exceptionalism, just as I suspect that the Brits believe in British exceptionalism and the Greeks believe in Greek exceptionalism.
There you go, folks. There's the problem. Ongoing now. The war, that is, his chief objective in the war was to kill Osama bin Laden. It's over. From his standpoint, everything he's ever talked about, everything all the progressives have ever talked about, it's no war on terror. We killed Osama bin Laden. That's George Bush, when he took the war to Iraq, and we killed, what, about 70,000 al-Qaeda there? And he said, bring it on. Oh, that was all wrong. Killing them and destroying the ideology is wrong. Just Osama bin Laden. And American exceptionalism it is meaningless, because we have to lower our standard of living. We have to give Well, we've created a vacuum internationally so that the rest of the world can fill it. And we're going to sit back and watch the scales of justice meet. That's the idea that the president has about American exceptionalism. And it's not good. It's not good for the United States of America. And I'm going to ask you to do, to just please hang with me here. I want to throw out some thought experiments today. Some thought experiments. Einstein was famous for this. You know, and they're very simple, really. It's like, just imagine that you're in an elevator and it's suddenly cut from its chain and you are falling at gravitational speed. You are falling. What happens to you in the elevator? That's a thought experiment. Well, I have several thought experiments to clarify the situation that we're in today in the world that doesn't seem to be happening. The situation that people aren't really thinking about what's going on in Egypt, in Iraq, in Jordan, on the borders of Israel. Yeah, it's just all about Osama, and there's so much more. There's so much more right now that we have to deal with when we come back. A thought experiment to bring us into the present reality. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda.
No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away.
No, no.
They won't take that away.
Oh, no.
Because they can't take that away from me.
Obama, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, you get it straight here on the Savage Nation. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. The telephone number is 1-800-449-8255. We're not going to be able to take it away from him, and by gosh, we're not going to. We're going to remind you that you can't take it away from him. He did it. Of course, he did it with a lot of help. He's not going to tell you that. We'll do that. Bush, Bush, Bush. We'll just say a few words. Seals, seals, seals. Billions of dollars. Stealth, weapons. Everything you're going to cut. I do remember that great piece that people were throwing around on the internet there, where all of the things in the military he was going to cut. I'm going to cut this. I bet that there have been moments where he has squeezed his nose and said, "Boy, I'm glad I didn't cut that. Ooh, do we still have this? Ooh, is that still in the box? Oh, my gosh." I bet that went on, folks. I bet. And I bet there were a few moments where he was just a little embarrassed. No, I said I was going to cut that, but do we have it? Oh, yes, Mr. President, we have that. Whew. At any rate, ladies and gentlemen, I said I was going to throw at you a thought experiment. Let me set this thought experiment up. This is how, and it's very important. You know, the progressives, it's like a little switch. They are programmed to say certain things when something else is said. The B.F. Skinner box, that's it. They're like rats. Now, here's Gretchen Carlson talking to Kristen Gillibrand, senator from New York, and she was talking about, harsh interrogations. And listen to Gillibrand's response. Here, this is the important thing. Her response to the term harsh interrogation is number four. Charles, if you have that, listen to this, folks, and listen to the way Gillibrand responds.
What do you think about the other debate that's now coming to the surface about the enhanced interrogation techniques? Many people are saying that that's, in fact, how we ended up finding Osama bin Laden. What do you think?
Well, I don't know that that's the case. And in fact, I don't know that torture actually produces results. More than 12 generals have publicly stated not only does it not produce results, but it puts our troops at grave risk.
Okay. You see, she said torture. She couldn't take the same words because she wanted to correct Gretchen Carlson. This is torture. Now, here is the first thought experiment, folks. This is the first one. I am waterboarded 10 times. I know I have talked to Navy SEALs who have been waterboarded. I've talked to other members of the special operations forces in this country who have been waterboarded. It's part of their training. I am waterboarded 5 times. You have a nail driven into your head and all of your toes are crushed. You got it? You got it. I go on and I appear on television, radio, continue to work in motion pictures and television and do voiceovers. What do you do? I'm waterboarded 5 more times. We now cut off 1/2 inch of your tongue. It was one of Saddam's favorites. I then go on to more personal appearances. And I'm constantly asked about how you're doing. You got it? You got that thought experiment going in your head? Do you see the difference between waterboarding and torture? You see the difference? All right, I remove a finger, your digit, from your hand. I'm trying to get information from you, and I cut off a finger. And then I'm waterboarded 6 times. You get the difference, folks? It's a thought experiment. It's a thought experiment. I know you can do it. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The telephone number here is 1-800-449-8255. You can also go up to michaelsavage.com, where Dr. Savage puts the news stories of the day that interest him. And it's a wealth of information that you're not going to get in the mainstream media. You might hear it later. But please go to michaelsavage.com. I'm too old. It's taken me too long to realize I don't have to put www down anymore. You just put michaelsavage.com and you will get there. Don't be like an old fuddy-duddy, which is what I am. And I am an old fuddy-duddy. But you know what's great? It's great to be old and remember being young. It is, because you don't think any differently. At least I don't. But some things are just a little slower. That's all. Just a little slower. And then you actually see things. I want to tell this, all of you who are young out there. You actually, when you're older, that's over 60, you get to see things in slow motion, which you can't do. Yeah, you can't do it. I see things in slow motion and see details you can't see. Yeah. I got special glasses if you get the cataracts removed. You see everything so clearly. So I threw out that thought experiment to you, ladies and gentlemen, about waterboarding and torture. And what we always thought of as torture, which is why we went in to get Saddam Hussein. When most people who thought of torture had very specific things in their minds. From the medieval stages in England, the rack, all of the torture in the in France, in Spain, the Spanish Inquisition.
The Spanish Inquisition. No one expects it.
But we had it. And torture always it was a pretty awful, bloody thing. And it disabled people for the rest of their lives. And as you were slowly losing capacity, as they clipped away at you, you finally gave in to what they wanted. Because that's really what torture was all about. It wasn't about getting information so much as it was you saying what they wanted you to say. Waterboarding is a different thing. It was an exhausting interrogation. I think I forget the exact number. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded something like 183 times. And yet he still eats popcorn. No problem. Drinks Coca-Cola. But there's no problem. But you remove a few digits, get rid of the tongue, place a steel rod in both eyes, and you don't see anymore. You don't talk well. You don't speak well. You won't be doing announcing. You won't be walking when the toes are crushed. You won't. Torture. And I'm not saying it's fun, but I'm saying that what progressives have done is what communists and leftists have done forever. They take terminology, they pervert it, and then they use it, and they use it, and they have a great big organ called the news media, which supports them and corrects you. Oh, you thought that was rain. No, 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 that's not rain. That's a gift from the state. That's not gasoline. That's not. That's a gift from Obama. Yes. And that CO2 that's coming out of your mouth right now, that's ours too. Did you know that? Yes. We control CO2. Remember the Outer Limits, ladies and gentlemen? Do you ever watch that? We control the horizontal. We control the CO2. Well, I got to just throw that in. Throw it in. It is an astonishing situation that we live in today. I mean, of course, you have heard, right, that the Obama administration wants to tax your automobile per mile. You've heard that, haven't you? I mean, of course you have, because you're in the underground. You're not following it vis-a-vis mainstream media. You're on the underground. The savage underground. You belong to an elite corps. You have overthrown so many, and now you know he wants to tax your car. And all you got to do is go up and look at the Green Party International. I mean, this is something they've been wanting since 1996. And his science advisor, where they want gas prices up around 5-6. Well, Chu said the price of gasoline here should be up to what it is in Europe, $10 a gallon. And we can't dig for coal. We can't drill for oil. We can't look for gas. We can talk about it, but we can't do it. And if we did it and got it, it wouldn't mean anything anyway. If you're thirsty and I give you, you know what? By the time I give you water, you're going to be thirsty again. So why don't we just wait till tomorrow? You'll make it till tomorrow, and tomorrow you will be more grateful tomorrow. You don't get water today. I give it to you tomorrow. You will be more grateful. You think waterboard. We don't have enough water to waterboard you, so you're going to die of thirst. Well, we won't let you die. We'll give it to you just when we think you really will be grateful. Because I'm president of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. You need to venerate me. You need to understand I'm doing this for your own good. The fact that I said this, that electricity rates were going to skyrocket, that gasoline prices had to go up, all of that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that I care about you and that I'm the one. And that, don't forget it, I'm the one who got him. Don't you forget it. So the president of the United States he's going to give a little speech about immigration. So we're under attack again now. Comprehensive. I heard the press spokesman, who's not doing a particularly good job now, Carney, the word comprehensive immigration, that phrase. And the word, and of course, it's what? We all know the code word comprehensive means that whoever's here now illegally is now a citizen. The road to citizenship. It's all there. They get in free. They get everything that they want because that's Democratic votes. And if you say anything else, you're a racist. So we have to get ready and gird our loins for that, because that's coming up. But we have so much more. I don't know whether you've heard that Hezbollah, some agents have said Hezbollah is on the border getting ready to blow things up. Have you heard that? No. Well, we'll talk about that later. Yes. And they're arresting people. They're arresting people in Great Britain and in Canada for telling jokes and singing songs. Yes. It hasn't happened here yet. We'll bring that to you. And I have some other things I want to talk about. I want to talk about China, and which 1.5 million Chinese. And they're approximately 1.35 million, a billion, excuse me. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Beowulf. That's the producer, ladies and gentlemen. Charles is on the sound, and Rick is talking to you, if you're calling. And I call them mind buddies, because you can't hear them, but they come into my little head. And I have to give them credit, you see, because I'm not like, oh, I want you to know that there are other people doing this, make you look good. But 1.5 billion Chinese, 1.5 or 1.3 billion Muslims. And have you noticed there's something about each, the Chinese, and by the way, they've been killing female children for 25, 30 years, limiting your children to one. One child per family, and because most people want a boy, they kill the little girl. And if you have two, you lose status. And they have a lot, they have an overflow of men. More men than there are women in China. And the Muslim world, where Sharia dominates, well, do I have to tell you, when women are covered from head to toe with just a little slit there for the eye, it is a male-dominated political, religious society. Would you disagree with that? If you want to disagree with me, you can call in. The telephone number here is 1-800-449-8255. But I think I can get away with saying that China now has an overflow of testosterone. I love that word. Testosterone. You get a lot of it from Dr. Savage. And the Muslim world, there's an overflow of testosterone. So it's approximately 3 billion human beings and a predominance of testosterone. And here in the United States, what do we have a predominance of? What are we doing in this country? Just think about this on a large picture. We are confronted with societies that are driven by aggression, male aggression. It's not going to slack off, folks. It's not going to happen. It's going to be more and more aggressive. And what are we doing? What did this president do after he was elected? What is the first thing he did? He went around the world and said, I'm sorry, I bow. I'm bowing. We're moving on. Vacuum here, vacuum there. I am creating a vacuum. And what happens when you create a vacuum? Testosterone. It swooshes in around the world, and we're seeing it. From Latin America, where the communists are really hot down there, and the Islamic world through Hezbollah and Ahmadinejad in Iran, very hot down there, their allies, 35,000 people dead on our border. That's pretty aggressive, wouldn't you say? And we're facing all this aggression. It's surrounding us. And what's happening here and in Canada? We are becoming metrosexualized. We are, for the first time in history, women in our universities, more degrees. And back in the 80s, there were more women going into college, but now there are more degrees, women. Men are, 1 in 5 men now stay at home, their dads. 1 in 5. Just think about this. Let this kind of seep into your brain. See the picture. Aggression around you. There aren't a lot of women in the Muslim world and in China, East. There are not a lot of women making decisions. They're building up their military. They are killing Christians by the load. They're murdering people, killing people. And what are we doing? Creating the vacuum. This president has created the vacuum. And we are
what are we doing? Gay marriage, transgender this, transgender that, making sure boys don't play football, that girls get to play it and do it too. They get just as much money. Take this from the boys. Stay at home. We have to feel. We have to feel more. Feel. We've got to be soft and cookie and cushy. And folks, I'm telling you, if you just look at the big picture for a second, get rid of everything else and say, well, wait a minute. If they're being aggressive and there's a lot of testosterone going on there, how are we going to survive? How are we going to do it? Well, we're not going to do it this way. So we have to find a balance somewhere. But you better think about it. And you better look at the border and you better look at our enemies, because they are our enemies. And they are laden with testosterone and aggression, and you can't do anything about it. And neither can Nancy Pelosi or any other progressive feminist. But we'll talk more about this. But just think about it. I want to go to a caller. In Texas, Heidi, you are on the Savage Nation.
Hi. Hey. Hi. I was watching this program last night. I was listening to you talk about Waterboard, and this program was Matthews interviewing some guy about why they don't waterboard. He goes, well, it's not within our values or principles. He goes, so shooting somebody through the head is within our values and principles. And then just looks at him. He can't even, like, answer the question. Did you see that program?
No, I didn't. But the same thing happened on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. Yeah, they can't answer the question. You're absolutely right. They can't answer the question because it's a fantasy. It's a fantasy totally created by the left in order to score points and actually to win an election. They used this concept that we were torturing people to pummel people in the United States, particularly sensitive people, into thinking that we no longer had the values of Americans. Michael Moore said it. We've lost our soul, which is nonsense. Which is just pure nonsense. But they cannot answer the question, because there is no answer to it. It's a lie. They're living a lie. Just as violence is never a solution. It's always a solution when it's necessary. Maybe not the best one. But they simply lie, Heidi. I mean, that's really, and it's happening. No, we don't have enough people to ask those questions. They should be asked more and more. There's no question about it. No question. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you for your call. And ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see more and more of this if Republicans want to win. You know, I watch American Idol this year. It's a phenomenal show. And Randy always says, this person's in it to win it. This person is in it to win it. And I want to see a Republican candidate who's in it to win it. I love the debate. I think we need a strong, testosterone-filled man to take on the Democratic Party and to do it with vim and vigor. And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, the microphone that is tied to testosterone. And we better find more microphones tied to testosterone, because we're going to be fighting it for the next 25 or 30 years. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope my little thought experiments are prodding you to think in an experimental way. A little further. Just think about 3 billion testosterone-laden people out there. Of course, some of them are women, but they are in a secondary position in societies that are strictly male-dominated and warlike and murderous. You know, I saw this this piece up front page magazine. You've been watching the events in Cairo Christians being killed, churches being burned to the ground, which has been going on for years. You just haven't heard about it. And this Muslim scholar, Iraqi Muslim scholar in Iraq, issued a fatwa. It's permissible to spill the blood of Iraqi Christians and call them dogs. Christian dogs should leave or die. Because Christians have been shoved out of Iraq. It's an irony. Something that's an unintended consequence of the experiment that went on there in an attempt to liberalize with freedom a society born of horror. We've tried to experiment. It's not working exactly as we would have liked it. The Arab Spring is not working out exactly as Obama would like it to work out, I think. It depends upon what his view of the world is. I know our position is a denuded one. We are not to be the United States of America as it was in the 80s. We are not the country that demanded unconditional surrender from the Japanese. We are not an American exceptional country. We are just another cog in the socialist wheel, the collective. Just like, as he has said, his religion, his unorthodox Christianity is a collective salvation. And therefore, it must mean a collective death and damnation. That's who your president is. It is not testosterone-laden. It's not out to protect you. It can't when it bows to evil and tyrants around this world. We will be back. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, one of the most fortunate fill-in talk show hosts in the country today because of who I'm sitting in for. I'd take advantage of this moment to go up to michaelsavage.com and to look at the news briefs that he has put up there, what has interested him today. Also, if you haven't, Trickle Up Poverty is an extraordinary book. It is a mind opener. When you read this book, unlike when I read his interview in Playboy magazine, where I said, "Boy, that sounds just like him," this book reveals aspects of Savage that you're not familiar with. I think you may have had inclinations and indications. You may have seen the inclinations. Excuse me. You may have seen the inclinations, heard the inclinations. But this, it's an amazing book to read, Trickle Up Poverty. We have been, Dwight Schultz, who am I? That's right. I am a professional actor. I have been for over 40 years, best known as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team, Barkley, Star Trek, The Next Generation, and Voyager, where I played a lieutenant who never got promoted until the very, very end, and who stammered, and when the director, when I my the first episode that I did, the director said, "It's too gay." I mean, I'm talking about testosterone today, but not everybody has to be a testosterone-laced, muscle-bound guy. Hero, that type. You can be an ordinary person. And you know, just because you're a regular guy doesn't mean you're gay. But yes. But anyway, after the dailies came back, they accepted it. Because he had many facets. Barkley. But also stage, motion pictures, worked with a lot of wonderful, interesting people in show business. And a conservative. In fact, I've been a conservative all my life. Listening to talk radio was very important to me at the age of 13. I realized, the first time I was ever on television was in my hometown, Baltimore. It was a television program called People Are Talking. And it was a guy on the street who just would go up to people, and you're walking along the street, and he would ask you questions. And here I was about 13, 15 years old, and he came up to a friend of – I should say a friend. Guy said fight. He turned out to be an arsonist. I look back on it. It's crazy. But anyway, I was supporting Barry Goldwater. Yes. I could prove to anybody. If they find that I was supporting Barry Goldwater. Was running for president. He didn't win, of course. And Ronald Reagan gave that great speech. But back then, when the rest of my family, not my family, liberal. Working class liberal. But liberal. I was a conservative. There has to be something in the genes. It has to be something to do with DNA. I don't know. But it's been very hard in California. A lot of wonderful people, but they are... difficult to live with. We've been talking about testosterone. We've been talking about our country vis-a-vis the world and where this president is going to take us. And if you look at China, approximately 1.5 billion with an overabundance of men, where are they going to get the women? Can you imagine the trouble for doing that, right? See, I'm an actor. I do that stuff. But I have stories here, people getting in trouble for doing that. And that's where we're headed. You can't, you know, Sid Caesar used to do that. He used to talk and, you know, it's gibberish. It's called gibberish. If you're talking French, you go, you know, you do that, you do German, you... It's not German, it's just gibberish. But you do that. And then Chinese is... Japanese is... Now you can't do that anymore. I just did it. But we're getting to the point where if you do that, you're in trouble. This story is true. This story is, it's in several periodicals over in Europe. It's from the Euroweb and Great Britain. Carl Douglas defends kung fu fighting after racism charge. The 1974 song, Kung Fu Fighting, is it in your head? Kung Fu Fighting is making headlines after an entertainer in the UK was arrested on suspicion of racially aggravated harassment for performing the tune in a local bar. According to the Daily Telegraph, Simon Ledger was arrested after a 32-year-old Chinese person overheard the song being performed in the Driftwood Bar in Sandown, Isle of Wight, and promptly made a complaint. A Hampshire police spokesman said the man claimed that he had been the subject to racial abuse. That it is. Those kids were fast as lightning. This song, which features the lyrics, there was a funky Chinaman from funky Chinatown, reached number one in the U.S. and U.K. charts and sold over 9 million copies worldwide. Carl Douglas, the 63-year-old artist who wrote and sang the track, says he was shocked to hear of the arrest. I couldn't believe it. This is not a racist song. Carl's black, by the way. It's a happy, kicking, disco song.
I have Chinese cousins, and my sister's married to a man called Tony Chang. Why should I sing a song that could be interpreted as a racist?
According to the police spokesman, the Kung Fu Fighting Investigation.
The Kung Fu Fighting Investigation is ongoing. And Ledger has been released on bail, blimey.
Folks, this is not a joke. I have another one here. I have this story. This is a longer story. And this is right north of the border.
Eh? I'm going to talk to you about that now, eh?
A Canadian stand-up comic, Guy Earl, will face human rights, a human rights tribunal in British Columbia. Why? He's been ordered to pay $15,000 to Lorna Party. Do you want to date somebody named Lorna Party? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's a crime. What you just said.
Get him. Lorna Party got $15,000. She filed a complaint last year after she and her lesbian lover were taunted in Zesty's restaurant on Commercial Drive on March 22nd, 2007. The restaurant owner, Salam Ismail, has been ordered to pay $7,500. Earl told the Vancouver Sun he would appeal the decision. Why did he do that? Why is this going on in north of the border? Why? Because here it is. This is the story, folks. Earl's lawyer, Jim Miller, argued during the hearing that his client was entitled to freedom of artistic expression under Canadian Charter of Rights of Freedom. He claimed that he was heckled while he was on stage and that Party, who was awarded $15,000, threw a drink in his face. Party denied that she was heckling him and said Earl pointed at them and told the audience, and this is it, folks, this was his crime. He pointed at Party and whoever else was there and said, She said Earl went on to describe lesbian acts involving her and her partner that shocked and embarrassed her. So he's facing the human right. In other words, instead of this being
just a little event between people, it's just a little event between people. You know, we have words, as it used to be. Yeah, he called me a name, I called him a name, and then we went our different ways.
Charles Demers, a Vancouver-based comedian and a writer, said the case is unsettling. It's an unsettling precedent for comedians.
Don't you know that? I'm going to tell you this right now. It's really unsettling for us comedians up here in Canada. This ruling is going to have an impact on professional comics who are now going to have to harbor time starting up the venues, a hard time starting up. You know, people are going to say, you're not going to have any of that lesbian humor, are you? Oh, no. Oh, no. They're going to have a harder time getting restaurants and bars to start up comedy nights now.
But while Demmer, but here's this is what some of the other comedians are saying. He says, much time is invested in this fight against homophobia. And a lot of time has to be invested in the fight against homophobia in comedy. And he wouldn't want to align himself with someone who made hateful, homophobic comments.
I don't know, none of them homophobic comments in my comedy. No Islamophobic, no homophobic, no Italianphobic, Israelophobic, Irishphobic, no phobic. I am no phobic. I got a stick of it right here. You put it on your forehead. It's called a stickophobic.
I've never been heckled by someone. I mean, what's about sexual orientation? This is terrible.
I've dealt with hecklers in ways that are not hateful to whatever group they visibly come from. You are visibly a group. I can tell who you are, and I'm saying your name out loud.
That'll be $40,000.
Anyone who laughs will be taken to jail immediately. Okay, go ahead.
Folks, testosterone is gone. It's gone north of the border, It's practically gone from Great Britain. And if we keep following in the footsteps of the grand chairman of the Progressive Party, Barack Hussein Obama, we will go the same way. One day you will wake up and not be able to tell a joke. Your favorite comedian will be banned from HBO. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We are talking about the sexes in a roundabout way here on the Savage Nation. Dwight Schultz, actor for over 40 years. If you don't know who I am, why should you? Professional actor, conservative always. A devotee and aficionado of talk radio. I love my talk radio. I learned more on talk radio over the years than I ever learned in the 4 years in the educational institution to which I went. That's why I didn't name it. I had good theater background there. Very good theater. It was great. But I'm not going to talk about the political science and the politics of the institution. But anyway, I want to get to a caller who's been holding on. Lee in Texas. You are on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dwight.
Hi, Lee. How you doing?
Just great. Just great. I wanted to make a mention here. I'm 53 years old. I'm a Texan. I'm
You're
conservative.
A baby.
I have a concealed carry weapon, and we own a farm. And the American women of this country need to be very, very scared right now. We have idiots like Anderson Cooper, Joy Behar, Whoopi Goldberg marching around celebrating the freedom of Egypt, while there is a young woman, I believe it was in Sudan. She was 14 years old. She was raped. Okay. And because it was not witnessed and testified by 5 men, she was stoned to death. And this occurred at the same time this Joy was leaping up and down about the Egyptian freedom, and not a word said by those nasty women up there.
Listen, what you're saying right now, God bless you. I really mean that. And Please, I hope that you talk about this wherever you go, because you are right on the money. You've got to look at the whole story. You can never look at these tiny little pictures that progressives want you to look at. And you are right. Women need to be very concerned. I mean, is your community basically conservative, or do you have a great mix?
We have, because we are a university town, we have a big mix. But predominantly Texas is a rural community, which brings up the fact that our coward-in-chief is parading around Texas right now. He's been down on the border today, and he's in Austin. He has denied Texas any relief from the fires.
From the fires, yes.
Have destroyed hundreds of thousands of acres of our cattle and our
Do you think that's political?
Yes,
you think that's payback? You think that's payback?
Oh, you better believe it. Absolutely. And there are you think the cost of food is high right now, and the farmers that depend upon our diesel, because we have to use diesel to get our animals to market. Guess what? The prices go up on the diesel, the more you're going to pay for the beef, and the less animals out there due to the destruction that we've had due to these fires, the shortage of hay, and the drought that we've got. People, you better wake up and get rid of our coward-in-chief.
Well, Lee, I want to thank you for being on the Savage Nation. Please don't stop talking. You are a Paula Revere. I got to tell you. We have to have more of this, folks, and we need you out there. Don't stop talking. You've called Michael Savage and the Savage Nation. Don't stop. We need you to keep talking and to inform people of what really is going on. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the incredible Savage Nation. An actor for over 40 years, best known as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team and Barclay on Star Trek, The Next Generation, Voyager. A lot of years, got old. You can see my hair transplants come and go. Ah, please, I give all the secrets away. I got to do it. It's just a magician, you know, you got to keep your secrets, but I got to give them away. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we had a great caller there from Texas, Lee from Texas. It was a setup in some ways for what I want to get into now. And it's all thematic. There was as most of you probably know, Laura Logan, CBS reporter, was in Cairo when Mubarak was overthrown. And there was a celebration going on. And that's the way it was dubbed. Mubarak out, celebration begins. And Egypt is not America. It's not Western. That women are subjugated to a lot of discomfiture. And you wouldn't know it looking at liberals in this country. And you can tell by some of the leading women in this country who are supposed to really know better, who are journalists, who simply don't understand that outside of the confines of the United States of America, where a constitution defines what the law is and what your guaranteed protections are, you don't necessarily have them. People who believe that countries like the United States are so big and they will go on in perpetuity, that there isn't an extraordinary amount of energy and input to maintain the apparatus, the machinery of government which permits you to live the kind of life that you live, to sit and watch television while someone else in Afghanistan or Iraq has just been blown up by an IED or is attempting to talk to a woman in a hovel in a world in which people still believe the world is flat, in which certain days of the week the men get together really sensitive to that. And while this country always protected religious freedoms, we are seeing religious freedoms around the world and soon in this country through subverted means to be worn away. First, we tell you, well, you know, what you think is religion really isn't religion. You know, if you put a cross in the middle of 1 million acres of federally owned land.
Oh, that's government support of religion. Got to take that cross down, put a box on it.
No, that's not true. Because you can put a menorah there. You can go and put your crescent moon there. I don't know. Put a haystack there and put a Wiccan sign on it. Because you have the freedom of expression of religion in public. It's what it's supposed to be. And the government is not supposed to make any law regards to religion. But progressives have changed all that. And now, as they absorb land, that's off limits. The administration is talking about another 20 million acres. Well, it isn't just 20 million acres of land. That's 20 million acres where religion and ideas of religion cannot be freely expressed. You think that's a joke, huh? Hey, you know those people put a cross out from their trailer. I want them arrested. You think that's a joke? I just read to you an example of a man in Great Britain being arrested for singing Kung Fu Fighting. Another man in a comic routine making fun of some lesbians. Well, they're going to destroy him. $50,000 ultimately, and he's taking it to the Human Rights Council. Instead of, why don't you two settle this like adults? I'm sorry. No. We have a caller we're going to get to who has something to say about that. Thought crimes. But we are unfortunate enough to have people in our society who don't seem to understand these things.
that have misconceptions about the world, that, oh, the world is just and there's law and legalities and United Nations, such a wonderful organization. Let's cede it our sovereignty, as the late Walter Cronkite wanted to do, and as this president is in the process of doing. Although this news media doesn't have the guts or the testosterone to tell you. I want to play for you a little, several pieces of audio here. First, this is Judith Miller. Judith Miller went to prison for a little while. She's on Fox News. She's not one of my favorites. And she's talking about Laura Logan, who had the horrific experience in Cairo on a celebratory night. And I want you to listen to what Judith Miller says here, particularly at the end. It just stumps her what's going on here. This is the problem. This thought process that you're going to hear is the problem today. Cut number six, Charles, please.
Well, look, it's just deplorable. It's horrible. And she's a very brave, accomplished reporter. It is also, unfortunately, it was part of a pattern of what was going on, not the sexual assault business, but the targeting of journalists by the Mubarak regime. The American Embassy, and I'm not often in praise of the American Embassy, but Liz Colton, a former Newsweek correspondent who is now the press spokesman over there, spent most of the night getting journalist after journalist out of jail, getting cameras returned to news organizations. This was a targeted policy. But that night, no one can understand how that attack happened, because it was a jubilant night in the square. Dozens and dozens of reporters were out there, and we still need more information about what happened.
No one can understand what happened. It was jubilant. It was joyous. And you notice how she immediately started talking about reporters, the Mubarak regime. Yes. They were targeting reporters because, obviously, they are a totalitarian, authoritarian dictatorship. Didn't want reporters reporting. But this was different, wasn't it? Or was it worse? Were these the civilians? Was this a manifestation of an ideology that is present and blossoming in Egypt? Something that we refer to here is Islamism. And are women in a particular place in Islamism? And in... Well, here is Laura Logan. You see, Judith Miller, she didn't understand anything about it. As much as bright as she is and all of the nonsense that goes on about her, she didn't have the sense to understand what this world is like. A world in which women are stoned to death, raped regularly, where a woman who is raped is stoned and killed, where people are murdered because of honor, particularly girls. We've had it in this country, for gosh sake. And Judith Miller can't understand why a blonde woman didn't have a scarf on her head. You notice when Nancy Pelosi went to Syria with that vicious murderer there against the wishes of the President of the United States, because everybody knows Nancy Pelosi is just unmeasurable testosterone. But that woman, you know, we wonder about her. Why there's so much transgender flaunting going on. She's been probably taking testosterone shots. Put the veil on. She put the veil on over there. Well, Judith Miller doesn't understand that that's the world we are facing. Then she doesn't belong on television. Now, this is Laura Logan. This is from the CBS News. She's speaking out for the first time, and there are some explanations I want you to hear, and I want to make a comment on this. Number seven, please, Charles.
Now, she's returning to work. And she's decided to tell the story of what happened just once here on our broadcast. She's speaking out, she tells us, to add her voice to those who confront sexual violence, to break what she calls the code of silence.
Now, folks, what they just said there is a typical mainstream media obfuscation. She's doing this to speak out against sexual violence. Folks, this was political violence. This was Sharia-sponsored violence. Men doing what they want to do, and you'll hear why when the story evolves here. Number 8, please.
When we drove from the airport into Cairo that night, moments after Mubarak had stepped down, it was unbelievable. It was like unleashing a champagne cork on Egypt. I'm anxious to get to the square. I got to be there because this is a moment in history that you don't want to miss.
What does it look like?
It looks like a party. It's a roar of sound because everyone's so excited and they're singing songs of the revolution and they're shouting slogans. And everybody's, you know, very physical. So you're being jostled and pushed, and sometimes people get closer. And my guys are very protective, and, you know, they want to keep people at bay. It was impossible not to get caught up in the moment, which was a real moment of celebration.
A moment of celebration. Here she is, a woman who has no idea the culture that she has invaded, because it's obviously, it's Western. It's got to be. I'm there without any of the protections of solemnity, the coverings. I'm a blonde female in a society that doesn't appreciate an uncovered woman because it is dominated by men. Move on to number 9, please.
And what happened then?
Our camera battery went down. And we had to stop for a moment, and suddenly Baha looks at me and says, "We've got to get out of here."
Baha is not happy here?
He's Egyptian, he speaks Arabic, and he can hear what the crowd is saying.
Yes.
He understands what no one else in the crew understands.
That's right. I was told later that they were saying, "Let's take her pants off." And it's like suddenly, before I even know what's happening, I feel hands grabbing my breasts, grabbing my crutch, grabbing me from behind. I mean, it's not, you know, one person and then it stops. It's like one person and another person and another person. And I know Ray's right there and he's grabbing at me and screaming, "Lara, hold on to me, hold on to me."
As she was pulled into the frenzy, the camera recorded her shout.
Stop!
Stop! The camera recorded her stop. But now the real incitement, the real reason for the hatred, perhaps the attempt to kill Laura Logan. Number 10, please.
Someone in the crowd shouted that she was an Israeli, a Jew. Neither is true, but to the mob it was a match to gasoline. The savage assault turned into a murderous fury.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was political, as much as it was the manifestation of real testosterone gone awry. A society that is dominated by men, misogynism, a society where women are second-class citizens in every sense of the word. A society you are not prepared to deal with because you have a media and a president at this time that is not prepared to tell you, ever tell you, the truth, because it would not be politically correct. And now, I'm going to play the very last cut. Cut 11.
I'm holding on to him. I didn't want to let go of him. I thought I was going to die if I lost hold of him. I can't believe I just let them kill me. That was as much fight as I had, that I just gave in, and I gave up on my children so easily. How could you do that?
Your daughter and your son are 1 and 2 years old.
I had to fight for them, and that's when I said, okay, it's about staying alive now. I have to just surrender to the sexual assault. What more can I fight for, left to fight for with my life?
It was a fight she endured about 25 minutes.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We have been talking here about men and women, testosterone, hormones, female, male, the world, aggression, how it evidences itself and how it is viewed. And in the last segment, I played you Judith Miller saying, well, it was a moment of celebration when Laura Logan, who was raped on that evening of celebration, it was an evening of celebration. But what is celebration in a culture that is so foreign to Western civilization that a woman who is raped is then stoned to death for dishonoring her family? Or where a child can be stoned to death for dating the wrong person? It's simply not Western. We are different. We simply are. And somewhere along the line, we make distinctions. It's what makes us human beings. We make distinctions. When we try to blur distinctions, we get into trouble. We interrogate someone with water. We have no intention of killing him. We have a doctor there. No one is killed. We waterboard them. We put water in their nose. It suffocates them. They gasp for breath. We give them breath. We do it again. We break them. They give up information. The reason we are doing it is because these individuals murder innocent men, women, and children who are civilians. They dress like civilians. They don't dress in uniforms. They live with civilians. They hide next to civilians because they want civilians' innocents to die. Because they consider you less than human if you are not exactly like them. We get information. But because somebody wants to be president, or because a party wants to rule in the United States and they have designs on changing the Constitution and the way we live, they, knowing that they control a media, say, torture. We have to define this technique as torture, because if we do, we can send these people to jail. We find someone like Rosa Brooks, who has been sent to the Defense Department, who wrote in the LA Times that she wanted Dick Cheney and George Bush in jail. Her mother was a socialist, let's face it, a communist Marxist, and so is she. She is now in the Defense Department. She wants the former president and vice president in jail. Send her to the Defense Department? Because I'm the president of the United States, and I know how to get elected. Even when no one knows my name, no one knows who I am, no one knows where I've been, I have protection. It's called NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times. Any time you got? Is it worth it, folks? Come back. Come back for the clash of civilizations. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for the amazing Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. A conservative actor, professional for over 40 years, best known as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team, Barclay in Star Trek, The Next Generation, and Voyager, and the film First Contact, playing the same character. Finally promoted after 13 years, and running and spanning maybe 50, I don't know, but I finally got promoted. But a vestige of my life here in Hollywood has been wonderful. Show business acting is a terrific thing. I love it, have an extraordinary passion for it. Unfortunately, the environment was terrible, horrible. Imagine going to work every day with the most passionate progressives who don't think, haven't read anything, and use four-letter words to describe everyone that you revere and always think that you believe as they do because they've never bothered to ask you what you think. They just tell you what they think because you couldn't possibly disagree. And it's interesting. It was what Brit Hume, who over at Fox News, I remember when he first came over there from ABC. When he was at ABC, he wrote for the National Review. And he was asked in an interview, well, how did ABC, you know, react to you being a journalist and who asked some pretty tough questions of Bill Clinton? And here you were being a conservative. You wrote conservative pieces for the National Review. How did they feel about it? And he said, well, they never knew because no one over there reads the National Review. And that is it. There is no possibility, ladies and gentlemen, in Hollywood or in the news media, that you have a mind of your own. They are the experts. You are the open minds, the brains. Push a button and they drop in their information and they assume you're going to run with it. And that's their ideology. It proved wrong in the last election. I pray to God it will prove wrong in the next one. Anyway, we have a lot of callers here. Before we get to them, and I'm going to get to all of them, I just want to please stay around. I have to read you this article. Because our president, the first global warming climate change president, who has insinuated into every single department of the United States government, including the faith-based outreach department, a climate change or global warming or however they've changed it today, because it's always changing. But he has insinuated into every department of government climate change, global warming platform. And one of his gospel new energy proposals is wind power. Europe is far ahead of us because they were the first ones really to the Green Party all over Europe, green on the outside, red on the inside, the watermelons, were far ahead over there. And they're the experiment, unfortunately for them. And I'm going to read you this article that this is what is in store for us, certainly here in the state of California. Which, please don't bail us out, wherever you are in this country. When California starts begging from, please, make Jerry Brown quit. Make the legislature out here quit. Make people here go screaming and pulling their hair out, running around naked. Because that's what they want. Let them all move to San Francisco. Everybody moves to San Francisco and give each and every one of them a wind turbine as a gift. And tell them to spin the turbine as fast as they can with all the methane that's in their body. And they do it by putting the turbine on the West Coast and putting their butt facing it. And let them live that way. Because we here in California are going to sink based on what's happened here with this, in the state of California with the rules and regulations they've put on industry. Please stick around. When I read you this article, it's funny. You're going to love it, but it's also ominous. Because it is our future. We need testosterone here in the United States, and we need it fast. We're going to go to Daniel in New York City. You are on the Savage Nation, Daniel.
I just heard this recording of Miss Laura Logan, and I am sickened and nauseated that this president was not on every major station defending the dignity and the rights of this woman. I mean, she is every woman in America. And yet, this government will send them foreign aid and money
people we really don't even know. I am sickened at his leadership, his attempt at leadership. It's a national disgrace. And how anybody could vote for this man in 2012, it's like committing suicide. I can't believe what I just heard. It is a horror. I don't know, where is this man's backbone? He has no backbone. And you hear these people defending him, this Whoopi Goldberg and these Joy Behar and these reporters that this Judy, whatever her name is. What are these people smoking? What are they drinking?
Well, I'll tell you. You see, they have a great shield. Many people have a shield to defend them, and this president and the Democratic Party have the shield. It's called racism. You're a racist if you criticize this president and what he's doing. It's all about, if you say anything culturally, you talk about who these people were, and it was political. I mean, this is a result of an ideological political philosophy masquerading as a religion. And he doesn't want to get into that because it interferes with his worldview. And the worldview is we must bow. He did it. He did it physically. We all saw it. And you say, how come we're not hearing about this? We're not hearing about it. Because he is in consort with the great educational institution of Columbia University that turns out all of these people who call themselves journalists, and they never were. They're all ideologues. They believe that the United States is the problem. He is the antidote to that problem. As Walter Cronkite said, we have to cede our sovereignty to the United Nations. And everything is expendable. Everything. That's the answer to this, Daniel. I mean, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much for being on the Savage Nation. He's dead on. I did not see, I heard about the Laura Logan story, but I did not see this pumped in the media. And of course, CBS apparently kept the actual truth of the story, which is that the horror really started when they said, she's an Israeli and a Jew. They wanted to get the best of her from a societal standpoint. She's a woman, so they wanted to take her pants off. They wanted to put their hands up into her and said she's a Jew. Ah, there's a pig and a monkey. And that's if, folks, if you go to memory and listen to the sermons that come out of Egypt, that come out of the West Bank, Gaza, Iraq. You have to go on the internet, really. I mean, you can on Fox News. You see it covered, but the actual murder of Christians around the world is now, it's moving, it is almost incomprehensible. Just as you did not hear that 35,000 civilians were killed south of our border. 35,000.
Oh, that's nothing. I'm down here in Texas today. I don't see anybody being killed.
35,000. And this president attacked the state, Arizona, that wanted to do something about it. We're living in Orwellian times. It is Orwellian. That's all that I can say. And we have to fight fire with fire. We have to call him out, what he is. Alan West did it. He's a socialist. He's a Marxist. He's an Alinskyite. And we have to have a Republican who has the guts to stand up and ask this president who he is and what he was doing before he ran for the Senate. That will be the beginning. That will be the beginning. Now I want to go to Penny in Indiana. You are on the Savage Nation, Penny.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the lack of testosterone that we have in elected officials and just a general sickness across this nation. The last caller, the comments, I mean, what is with our country, with our people? Where did the chutzpah, the guts, to stand up for what is right, where did the common sense go? And why do people constantly reelect, put in office people that have no concern for their constituents, none whatsoever, have only eyes on the dollar bills that they can get in their coffers. And what is with the Americans that can't seem to see this?
Well, Penny, thank you. Thank you for your call. The question why is actually a simple one. The reason that this has happened is that, and I've used this before, water comes out of your faucet and you drink it and you're drinking it and you become second nature and you believe it's going to be there. It is the same with the news industry. We believed for the longest time that we were getting the news. And then when the news became hardcore propaganda, we didn't know that it was hardcore propaganda. We didn't know we were being sold a bill of goods. We didn't know that we could vote for and be sold a president whom we did not know who he was, and that an entire industry would cover for him and hide who he was. And when one person asked to see his papers, to see where he came from, the entire industry protected the man called Barack Hussein Obama. One man, Stanley Kurtz. Yes, you've had the great Dr. Savage, but we need, beside Dr. Savage, we need Republicans who are like him. We need people, elected officials, who say, this is the truth. I am going to find out who he is. And I don't mean there are realities and unrealities. There are suspicions, but there are facts. You live and work on facts, hard facts. Follow the facts. Follow the story. Follow the history of this man in Radical-in-Chief. Start asking him hard questions, and he will not be reelected. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Another was a woman named Perla Ramos, who was born and raised in Mexico and came to the United States shortly after 9/11 and joined the Navy. And she said, I take pride in our flag and the history we write day by day. That's the promise of this country, that anyone can write the next chapter in our story.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, any legal immigrant can come in here and write the next chapter. Illegal immigrants can only come in here and become Democratic votes and write the next chapter in the man who is Barack Hussein Obama, because he sees the big V on every illegal immigrant. Because what follows an illegal immigrant in progressive circles? No identification. You don't need no stinking identification. You don't need no stinking badges. You don't need no stinking names. You don't need no stinking telephone number or anything. Just to be here. Ladies and gentlemen, I say this, and let me just... It sounds wonderful. What he just said sounds wonderful. But let me tell you this. Imagine that comment being made on a rowboat in which there are 12 people and the water is right up to the rim. And he stands up and says, we're calling onto the boat, someone else in the water. But we're only supposed to have 10. Yes, this is number 13. But no. And number 13 gets in and the entire boat sinks. Boats sink. It's a thought experiment. No matter how big the country is, boats sink. Go back and read what happened to the Titanic as the survivors were moving through the water when arms and hands were upraised attempting to get into the boats and no one lifted a finger to bring them in because they couldn't have survived if they did. Survival of the nation is at stake. Does this president have the survival of this nation at stake? Does he care about it? Is he bowing around the world because he cares about this country? How much does he care about it? Ask yourself, what is he doing? Not what he says, but what is he doing? Did he lie to you about who he is?
Or is he telling you the truth every day? Ask yourself that question. Don't let people tell you you don't know, you don't have the intelligence, you're not smart enough. Make up your own mind. Biography of the man who is the president of the United States. You will never be the same after you read that book. Now I want to go to our callers. There is Brett in Tucson. You are on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, good afternoon. I was on my way home from work a while ago, and the first two stories you covered was the Kung Fu fighter singer and the comedian in Canada that's in trouble for something or other. And
yes.
You know, put whatever number in the equation you want, 1 million years, 10 million years of evolution. When in this journey of evolution did human being skin grow so thin?
It's beyond belief. You know, and you know what's an irony of ironies here, Brett? Jewish comedians came out of the great hole in Germany. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We've had a rollicking time here. We're going to get to our callers. The world is filled with hormones. And how much you got? You know, I know you can get it through the doctor's office now. We know that the president is having an unprecedented meeting in an office where there are a lot of transgender individuals who have been getting hormones through the needle. But need I tell you that the Chinese have enough testosterone to go around and not enough women? And it is the same with the Islamic countries around the world. About 3 billion total pure testosterone facing us. And we are losing it. And I don't know how fast it's going, but we've been having a wonderful time talking about this today. And now I've got to read to you. It is connected. This is connected, folks, because our testosterone is weak and we are giving in to a nonsensical political fraud, a hoax, a lie called global warming and climate change. And before we get to our callers, I've got to read this to you because it's just this is what we are about to face. This is in Scotland. This is from the Daily Express over in Great Britain. But the headline is Wind Power Failing to Deliver Energy What Scotland Needs. Let me say it again. The unreliability of Scotland's wind power facilities was exposed yesterday by a report produced by environmentalists themselves. It's a wee bit of a report, but true. It showed that over the past 2 years, wind turbines metered by the national grid ran at just 10% of capacity for more than one-third of the time. They ran at less than 20% of capacity for more than half the time. The output from 1,237 turbines across Scotland and 648 from a part of the UK frequently dropped so low the electricity produced could boil just 6,000 kettles. 3 for every turbine. Folks, 3 kettles for every turbine in Scotland. Here is the defining comment by Stuart Young Consultancy. Wind power cannot be relied on when electricity is needed. I found the average output from wind was 27.1% of meter capacity. He concluded, it is clear from this analysis that wind cannot be relied upon to provide any significant level of generation on any defined time in the future. There is an urgent need to reevaluate the implications of reliance on wind. For any significant proportion of our energy requirement.
We need backup power. Oh, my Lord. The intermittent nature of wind also gives rise to low wind coinciding with high energy, and high energy coinciding with low wind. The needs are not met. Wind power is not what it's cracked up to be. That's in the official report. Ladies and gentlemen, if we rely on wind power for energy, we're living in a cloud cuckoo land. I mean, folks, do you realize every time this president has said other forms of energy, we've got to invest, we've got to take your hard-earned money and throw it into turbines. Remember he met in a turbine factory to show you, well, that's great, all the jobs, all these jobs. You know, Spain, folks, the most green country, 20% unemployment. They really went big time into green. They're all unhappy. They're angry. There's another article about this Scottish reliance on wind power. And they basically say that it is totally, completely unreliable. And that the truth of the matter is that if you can't rely, the Scots are going to have to go without electricity. That's the answer.
We can't stop. Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. We can't stop with the green power. We can't stop. And so Scots are going to have to be prepared to do without electricity. That's the future. That's the green future.
So if you go this road, and in Scotland they're telling you that the answer to the problem of wind power, not being able to generate enough electricity, is not to find something else. The answer is you have to do without. It is, of course, predictable. But this, where are the men in this country who will stand up and tell the environmentalists that not only they are either perpetrating a hoax, which is what they are doing, or they are so stupid as to be irrelevant. Look at the EPA. Look what it's done. Look at what's happened with the drilling moratorium. We don't have enough men in this country. The environmentalists have taken over, a bunch of silly, silly jerks. For some reason, we sat back and we said, oh, we want to be good. We want to feel good. We like the clean air. We like the clean rivers, the fishes, the cats, the birds, and the beasts. And we like the little froggies and the belt smelty fishes and all of that. It's all going to be good because they're all going to live together. And so what do we have? We have the United Nations saying,
we got to give the planet rights and a lawyer. Gaia's lawyer. And I know just who they are. First of all, you got to find somebody who speaks Gaia.
Folks, I'm sorry. This is just, it is beyond the beyond. We are in Orwell's world. He wrote it to be funny and to be black and dark. I wanted to say, because I lost track of time at the end of the last hour, the humor that came out of the concentration camps, the Don Rickles of the world, who would find someone in the audience and use them as a foil for an hour and say some of the most malicious things in a funny way. And everybody knew it was to be funny. And he called them names, and he called them ugly and short legs and big heads and they're naked and they're this and that. All of that came out from the conceptual ideas that life goes on even in the worst of situations, and you can find humor. Because humor is necessary for survival. You have to take certain things seriously, and when you're in a very bad situation, you have to be able to find ways to laugh about certain things, because sometimes that's all there is. And for those comedians, that's what it was. And here we are putting people into prison in Europe and in Canada, right across the border. And people are being slaughtered just south of the border. And we know that the terror that is over there in Europe, the Hezbollah, Ahmadinejad, these nuts, they were having trials about sorcery, for God's sake. They are in Mexico. They are allied with Hugo Chavez. And we have a president who's saying, my thumb is someplace, and it's warm. That's all I'm going to tell you. I will tell you about everything that happened in Pakistan. I'll tell you everything. I'll give you who the names are, what are, everything, how we got there, when it was, and all of this. And we'll give you four different stories if you can pick the one you like. But I'm only going to tell you now that my thumb is warm, and I'm not going to tell you anymore. And that's our president at the moment. It is a disgrace. A disgrace. Well, let's see. I want to get to our callers. And we have some here who have been holding on for quite some time. Let's see. Dennis in Orlando, Florida. You are on the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Dwight? I'm going to make two quick points. First, I want everybody, hope everybody will keep praying for my Alabama home. Took a beating, but we're getting back up.
Will do.
And Alabama's going to be fine. My second point is Barack Obama is a modern-day Wizard of Oz. You know, we learned early on, it's drilled into us, you know, don't shoot the messenger, don't shoot the messenger. And we separate the message from the messenger, and that's what he plays off of. He figures that if he's the best messenger, nobody will pay attention to the message.
I think you're dead on. You're absolutely dead on. It is part of the game, and it is a game. You're absolutely right. It's you've seen it for what it is. But the hard thing, and I don't know how you do this with your friends. I mean, I have arguments all the time. There are a lot of people out there who say, oh, no, he's just a standard politician. That's all he is, just a standard politician, just a regular guy. And, you know, he's got the best heart. He wants everything to be good. I have a very hard time with that conceptual idea because no one could be dismantling the United States the way he is in the process of dismantling us and have good intentions. I don't see it. I mean, do you see it that way?
I got a little bit of experience on both sides. I actually worked in the Clinton White House, 94, 95, and then I switched to the Republican side in 2001. So I saw someone a lot better than Barack Obama who could tell the little old ladies in Iowa that the sky is green and the grass is blue. and they believe it just because they look into his eyes and they believed the messenger over the message. And I saw in D.C. Marion Barry's crew going through the wards and rounding up bodies and bodies and bodies and putting them in vans to get them to the polling stations, right, not knowing anything about the issues or him. So I've seen slimy politics, but this gentleman, the current resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, is the sneakiest and the slimiest I've seen.
Well, thank you for your call. I have to agree. And it is one thing to call people names ad hominem. If anyone saw John Stossel and Andrew Breitbart on Fox News with a lawyer, the Pigford incident, this lawyer got his backside reamed. I mean, he was just picked good. And he kept attacking Breitbart. He just kept calling him a baby and a child, and why don't you get a job? And because he couldn't answer questions that were serious questions of impropriety. And this lawyer, when he no longer could discuss factually the story, he just started name calling. And this president, and I will never forget this, I remember when he said, and he was he was still running for president, and he was running for the job, and it was a huge Democratic audience, and he said, oh, yes, and by the way, Republicans, he was talking about Republicans, he said, and they'll say I'm black. And I got so darn angry, because why, once that is said by the candidate who is black, and they are going to say, he's talking about Republicans. He's talking about me. He has accused me of being a racist, and I'm darn angry. So I'm angry, and I don't like him because of his ideology. And I believe that he is you've got him saying it, redistribution of income. He's criticized every facet of government because it wasn't about the redistribution of income, and that is not capitalism. It's not the American way. You do redistribute income, but you do it on an individual basis. We've had different ways to do it. We are not a pure capitalistic society. There is a social net. But this country has held out because of our values and because of the history of the people who came here from Europe. And I didn't trust him. I didn't trust who he was. And then when I found out who he was, when I saw what happened with Jeremiah Wright and Bill Ayers, when I heard Daniel Ortega say, if he is elected, it will mean real revolution in the United States of America. I can't promise that it's happening, but they are laying the groundwork for it. I said, how the hell did he know that? Now I know. Now I have seen the connections. Now I have the information that at the time, I couldn't say the things that I say now. But now the dots have been connected. Remember all why don't you connect the dots? Connect the dots. This was the progressive tome after 9/11, blaming George Bush and every bloody Democrat out there. Hillary held up a newspaper. Bush knew. Howard Dean said, it's a really interesting story that the Saudis and Bush knew. It's really interesting. These rats. And today they talk about slime. These people are the slimiest of the slimiest. And they lie every day about who they are and what they intend to do. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
How can we follow leader when it's a corrupt one? The government's a G-unit and they might buck young black people. Black people in the urban area one. I hold up a peace sign, but I carry a gun.
Oh, yeah. That's coming into the White House, folks. That's it. That belongs in the White House. There's no question about it. We've been talking about it. It's testosterone. They got to import it. They find it wherever they can, which is good. I'm for that, actually. Can I hear a little bit more of that? Hear another one?
From Project Building, seen a fiend being hung. With that happening, why they messing with Saddam? Burn a bush, cuss for peace, he no push no button. Killing over all in Greece, no weapons of destruction.
Oh, there it is, folks. I knew it. We had to blame Bush. We got to go back to that. We can't go on without blaming Bush. Bush has never done anything for this president. He only made the greatest transition, I think I heard his name. No administration in history had ever given an incoming administration access to the information that this administration had because of the problems that we had in the government. Because of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and all the Democrats who ran it and pilfered everything that they could and forced banks to loan people money when they knew they couldn't pay it back. And so Bush did it, and now we're going to bring somebody in who's become famous for attacking Bush, Saddam and Bush. Yeah, that's good. That's good in the White House. It makes sense. It makes sense, and because they're importing testosterone here, of course, we've just lived through a great importation of testosterone for this president, in which he used all of the instruments of government and the men and women who have volunteered to protect this country in the form of Navy SEALs and all of the backup people. He used it all. He used all of their testosterone to manufacture testosterone so that members of his administration could spend hundreds of millions of dollars telling you that he has it. He's got it. Those shaved pecs and those smooth hands, that's all. Don't pay no attention to that. The bowing, the scraping, all of the inability to get a story straight after these amazing men and women in the United States military achieved a phenomenal objective. And they came back. And this guy said, well, if we have 44 stories, one of them has got to be right. So get them all out as fast as you can. And then we'll settle on whatever it is sounds best. And then nobody will care because we'll keep changing the story. And there's nobody with testosterone in the news media, so we're the only ones who have it. And the most important thing, anyway, is not all these men and women, but it's what I achieved. It's what I did. Because Osama bin Laden, he's dead. Osama's dead, and I killed him. I did it. Oh, yeah. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
They won't take that away, 'cause they can't take that away.